In verse 1 of chapter 30, it says, "You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood." First of all, we see this is an altar of incense. This altar, we're going to find out, is going to be 3 feet tall and 18 inches by 18 inches. It's interesting because it's the tallest table in the tabernacle, but yet it's the smallest altar in and around the tabernacle. And that speaks to us about our God in so many ways. You know, he is the biggest, if you will, and yet he has brought himself low and made himself small to us in Jesus. The main altar, as you might know, going into the tabernacle is the brass altar or the brazen altar. It's in the outer court, and that's the place where sacrifice is offered. This altar is not an altar of sacrifice. It's an altar of incense. And there's a difference. There's no blood that is shed on this altar. There's no cutting of animals. This is simply the burning of incense. And incense is a type of prayer we're going to see. So let's just read through verses 2 to 5. "A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width, and it shall be square. 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be one piece with it. And you shall overlay its tops, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make it for a molding of gold all around," which, by the way, speaks of the royal diadem that Jesus will one day wear. You know, Jesus is going to be crowned with a royal diadem, and you can kind of get a picture of a crown molding going around this altar. 2 gold rings you shall make for it under the molding on both sides. You shall place them on its 2 sides, and they shall be holders for the poles which to bear it. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you." So we see that this altar is in a very place where God says, "I'm going to meet with you." And that's really what we're here about tonight, that we come here to meet with the Lord. And what a wonderful picture this is of meeting with the Lord, of prayer and praise and worship, as we begin to look at it. First of all, it's in a place where you shall make it, he says, and put it before the veil that is before the Ark of the Testimony. Now, that veil, of course, was the veil that protected, if you would, the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And that was the place where the very presence of God was there, and only the high priest could go behind that veil once a year on the Day of Atonement. In fact, this chapter will speak about that. We're not going to get to that tonight, but you know, this is a place where only the priest could go behind the veil. And we know that that veil, that very veil, which is just behind this altar of incense, has been rent in two, right? Remember the story when Jesus died on that cross, that the veil was rent from top to bottom, torn in two, and the exposing of the Holy of Holies. You know, that veil that was rent is 80 feet high, 10 inches thick. And on the day that Christ died, that veil was rent from top to bottom, meaning clearly God is the one who rent that veil. And he exposed the Holy of Holies, and he now has an open place for us to come. We can freely come before the boldly come, the Bible says, before the throne of grace with joy. This is what we have. We have this right. We have this freedom. And my appeal to you tonight, my appeal to myself tonight, in a sense, my rebuke to myself tonight is, why don't I come more often? Why don't I come? I can boldly come. Why not come? This picture of prayer and of worship, prayer really as incense. David wrote about that in Psalm 141. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It says, "Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you." You can sense an urgency in David when he says that. And then he says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." So this is an altar of incense, where frankincense, in a sense, that aroma, something burning that would just have a great aroma, it would make the place just smell wonderful. You know, my wife is really into candles. She likes all different flavors of candles. I got to be honest. Some of them I like, some of them I don't like so much. But you have that fragrance going, and it takes away any stench or any bad odors, and it fills the room with sweet odor. Well, as we seek the Lord, and we come many times with the stench of this world in our life, the stench of our being. But yet when we come and we enter in by the altar of incense, if you will, that place that only the Lord is, and he's the one who's made the way for us to get there, because before we got to the altar of incense, we had to come to the altar of sacrifice. And it's all based on the blood of Jesus that we're able to come at all. And he says, you know, here that is, those, our prayers are like that incense. Revelation chapter 5 says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, as we come tonight, and we're going to spend time in praise and in prayer and in worship, and we often think of prayer as sort of this chore that we do when we come together and we pray and we just say our prayers. How many of you are raised in that kind of culture which says, you know, when I was raised, I had to say my prayers before I went to bed? Raise your hand. Yeah, how many? A lot of us, right? You got to say your prayers. And I almost felt like it was, you got to say your prayers, you know. Your parents would always say, don't forget to say your prayers, you know. And it was like, it felt like a chore, felt like a job, felt like something you had to do, like don't forget to brush your teeth, you know, kind of thing. And that shouldn't be our attitude toward prayer. Because prayer is so much more than us just saying what we need from God or praying for a few people that we love. It is really all-encompassing into worship and into an attitude of submission and into repentance and into brokenness and a work in our hearts. This is really what it is. And when we come together in a group like this, and tonight as we join together, that's what we're going to want to do. We're going to want to really pray in that way. Revelation 8 talks about this smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascending before God from the angel's hand. You know, again, we see this picture of this incense going up to God. And as we lift our voices and we lift our hearts in praise and in prayer and in worship, it's an incense. It's a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord God. It tells us that Aaron, verse 7, shall burn on it sweet incense. Notice that. Every morning when he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it or a burnt offering or grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. So we see the specific purpose of this altar is for the burning of incense. It's not for burning a grain offering. It's not for a burnt offering. It's not for strange incense. Now, some things about this incense. First of all, it is to be done in the morning and the evening. What a beautiful picture that is of what we need to be doing in our life as believers, right? Seeking the Lord in the morning when we rise up, spending time talking to the Lord about what's going on in our own hearts and lives. You know, just laying our day before him, starting our morning with him, right? And then as we close the day, as we say goodnight, if you will, to the Lord, you know, as we're laying in our bed at night, just before we drift off into sleep, just to say, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I give you my sleep even now. I give you my dreams. I give you my, you know, my thoughts as I go to sleep. And I just praise you and I thank you. And a morning incense and an evening incense. And you can see that there's a great picture. In fact, this is where Spurgeon got his name of his book, his devotional book. Came from these verses, morning and evening. So important to have those times of morning and evening. But notice also that it is to burn this incense, perpetual incense, before the Lord throughout your generations. You know, praying and seeking the Lord and worship is supposed to be a part of our life. You know, we don't come together, and we call this a worship service when we come together. And we call, you know, when Mike is playing or now Terry's playing tonight, we call that the worship, you know, when they're singing. But worship is so much more than the time of, if it's even an hour, that we spend singing. Worship is about our life. It's supposed to be perpetual. continual. It's supposed to be part of every part of our life. And prayer should be that way. You know, Paul said to pray without ceasing. Now, how do you do that exactly? You know, you think about that. How do you pray without ceasing? Because you almost have to stop. You think, well, wait a minute. If I'm going to pray without ceasing, then I can't even think. But the thing is, in the spiritual realm, you really can pray without ceasing, without thinking. You know, it's just part of who you are. In other words, whenever anything comes to mind, you pray. You know, and there's short prayers and there's long prayers. You know, you look at the Bible and you see the prayers of the Bible, and there are some long prayers in the Bible, not real long ones, but there's some pretty good ones. Solomon's prayer for the temple is a pretty long prayer. But then there are some very short prayers. You know, when Nehemiah was in trouble and he was meeting with the king, he just said, and I prayed to the Lord of heaven. Next thing you know, he's talking to the king. You know, so there's this just quick prayers. And it really is a matter of where you are and what's going on in your life right at that moment. But the prayer is to be, we're to be in an attitude of prayer. Our life should be an attitude of worship and prayer. You see, we are a living sacrifice. That's what Paul said, right? So that means we're already on an altar. You know, there's an altar of sacrifice that we're on, and we are that living sacrifice, and we're to live our lives that way all the time, that we should be praying and worshiping. And the attitude should be this. When you're talking with someone, you know, isn't it very easy to talk with someone? They tell you their problems, you listen to them, and you just kind of go, yeah, you know, that's too bad. I'm really sad for you. You know, I hope you're doing all right. Or you might even say this, hey, I'll pray for you. I want to challenge you. Do you pray for them? Or do you just say, hey, I'll pray for you? You know what I encourage you to do? Stop right there and pray for them. Take the moment right when you have it. You know, let's pray right now for that situation. Can I pray for you right now? You know, there are not very many people who will say no, even if they're total heathens. You can go around all around town and go right up to people and say, can I pray for you? I told this story, I think, before, but when we were coming off the pastor's conference, Pastor Brian McDaniels, we're walking out of toward the restaurant, and he walks up to this lady, and he goes, may the Lord bless you today. Can we pray for you? She says, man, you couldn't have said that to to a person that needed it more than me right now. You know, my husband had a lung transplant. And we're like, wow. We prayed for her, and he led her in the sinner's prayer right there in the Denny's parking lot. But you got to be bold with this. You got to be willing to step out in faith and do it. And you know, it's interesting because this incense, there was nothing that took the place of the incense in the tabernacle. The incense was valuable. It needed to be there, and it was the only thing of its kind. And there is nothing in our life like prayer. Nothing. Like our life of worship and prayer, there's nothing that can replace that. And in order to come to prayer, we have to come through Christ. When we pray, we need to come in his name, and there should be no strange incense. And that's really, I think, what he's talking about. It needs to be through Jesus. It needs to be through his spirit. You know, there needs to be like an intercession. We can't have just this strange prayer. What is strange prayer or strange incense? What was that? Well, we know later on that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, actually do offer some strange incense, and they're consumed by the Lord. Strange fire they burnt on the altar. We're not real sure what it was they burnt. We just know it's called strange fire, and they paid the price for it. Well, what could it be in our lives? Well, I think selfish prayer can be strange fire. I think sometimes when we pray, we're just praying sort of just words that are bouncing off the ceiling, and they're just selfish prayers because they're all consumed within our own little trip in our minds. And I'm not saying we don't pray for ourselves. We should pray for ourselves. But we need to get outside ourselves when we pray too. We need to look at where others are at and pray for others. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What is that? Could this be speaking in tongues? Perhaps. But even really, it is the groanings that are coming from the deepness of our soul. Now, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He is the Lord, makes intercession for the saints. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25, it says that therefore he is able to save to the uttermost to those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We need to realize when we gather in prayer, or even when we come personally in prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and he is ever making intercession for us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God right now in human form. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is seated next to the Father. And you know what he's doing? He's praying for us right now. I mean, I am blessed by that, man. Jesus is interceding for me. The word intercession means he's the go-between. He's interceding to the Father for me right now. And it's not like he's praying saying, Lord, you know, Father, you know, I'm not sure that Chris, you know, he's just not doing so well these days. You know, that's not the prayer he's praying. I believe he's praying in confidence saying, oh, Chris, Father, I just see so much potential in Chris and what's going to happen in his life and in your life. And I just, oh, what a wonderful, oh, look at what's happening at Cornerstone. Look at how those people are there and they're worshiping and they're praying. Oh, isn't this wonderful, Father? It's not like, oh, you know, well, there's that bunch of losers. We'll get them, you know. It's not the Lord. That's not his heart. You know, I know that because it goes on in Romans. Because he goes on and he says, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. You're familiar with those verses. He predestined us and so on. But he says, what shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? You're a winner, man. I mean, you know, we talk about, this is talked about within the realm of Christianity as if it's all about winning in this life. That's not even what he's talking about. He says, who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ? What shall we say to these things? He didn't spare his own son, verse 32, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, why would he not want to bless you from here on? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. I'm not justified because of what I do. I'm justified because of what he did. Christianity isn't a religion about do. It's a religion about done. He has finished it. It is finished. It is done. It's Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession. So we've seen in three places, two in Romans, one in Hebrews 7:25, that Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. I think there's a message that the Lord wants to give us. And again, sometimes these words don't come out when we pray. It's sort of groanings. But he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows how we ought to pray and what we ought to pray. All we need to be is tuned into his Spirit. We just need to be in that place where we're just sitting in the presence of his Spirit and basking in that. And that's our goal tonight. That's what we want to do as we spend the next 45 minutes before the Lord. Or more, because we may linger. Who knows? Maybe we'll stay all night. We'll put your kids down. It'll be good, you know. And in fact, I want to say now, if we get later and we're going to move on a little bit, we're going to keep going. If you have children, if you feel the need to go, we're not going to so much look to close the service right at 8:30. We're just going to spend time in worship and in prayer and in adoration of our God. I want you to note the one other thing about that verse in Hebrews, that he always lives to make intercession. Jesus is alive and interceding for us always. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that one. Always making intercession for me. So that when I was yelling at the dog the other day, he was he wasn't praying for the dog, he was praying for me. The dog might have needed prayer too, but he's always making intercession for me. No matter what I'm doing, he's making intercession for me. Man, that's a tough one for me to get my mind around. But he just plain loves us. And his Spirit is alive in us and wants to make intercession, not only Christ making intercession for us, but his Spirit wants to make intercession through us. That's what Paul's talking about there in Romans. So when we come to the altar of incense, we come because Jesus Christ is real. And we come to worship, and we come to pray, and we come to praise, and we come to lift our voices. That's what we're here about.